Welcome back, everybody, to another podcast for I'm Adopted. We're up to episode 20. This is awesome. The incredible feedback from all of you guys, the support, the community worldwide for adoptees is something, it's incredible. It's amazing. Thank you so much. And this week we are back again with Romanian, German, Kiwi adoptee, Alexander Kush. Alexander Marcus Dan Aurel Kush is joining us this week. And I want to ask him a few questions about Romania. All about their history, about his own life, what he remembered of Romania, and I guess about the orphanages. So, Alex, welcome back, and thank you for joining us for episode 20 of the I'm Adopted podcast.
Thank you for having me here again, Alex. And yeah, it's great to be back, and it's great to have the 20th episode of the I'm Adopted podcast.
Can't believe it, honestly.
Yeah, so it's great to be back, and I guess, yeah, I'll be more than happy to share a bit about where I'm from in Romania, a bit of the history of Romania, and the orphanages. And I guess the most logical place to start with is give a bit of background about me, just for everyone that haven't heard about me yet, and just place me in the context of Romania. So I was born in 1995, and I was born in the region where our good friend Dracula's from, Transylvania. And I'm from Cluj-Napoca, which is actually quite well known in Romania. They've got a very famous university there, Babilus University. I've probably butchered that name, but that's fine. It's a very famous university. And actually, Romania is also known for having contributed to flight as well, for flying.
What do you mean, the history?
To the history of flying. Okay. Yeah, it was another Romanian person that I'm probably not going to pronounce right, Henry something. So a Romanian person invented that as well. And I was born in 95 in Cluj-Napoca in Transylvania. And the Romanian, and I guess giving a bit of context of Romania, the Romanian Revolution happened in 1989 on Christmas Day, so on the 25th. And the week beforehand, there was protests actually in a church in a town in Romania called Timișoara, where a local priest started speaking up against the oppressive regime under Nicolae Ceaușescu, who had subjugated his people to quite a tyrannical regime. For instance, women were forced to have 5 kids at least, and yeah, the economy was just going downhill. And it's, but at the same time, he had took 22 years to build the Palace of Parliament, which is a very global icon. It's the second largest building after the Pentagon, and it's got granite floors inside it, and it's got actually natural airflow, so it's basically natural cooling, which is really impressive.
It's indoor flow. Now, sorry to interrupt you, but I was just going to ask you, where you're born, is that at the top of Romania or whereabouts? Is it close to Bucharest?
Yeah, Bucharest.
Is it close to the capital?
So Transylvania is in the north of Romania, and from Bucharest, it's about about an 8 hours train ride, give or take.
So on the border of near the border of Ukraine or Belarus?
It's nearer to Ukraine, but it's still with a car drive approximately 17 hours by car. So nearly a day's worth of driving.
It shows you how big the world is, doesn't it?
It does, but it also shows that especially when the Crimea crisis started off in 2014, that Romania was getting quite concerned. And actually, when I was in Romania back in 2015, you could see the heavy presence of US, even US soldiers there.
I guess just remind everybody who's listening, when did you first go back to Romania? Remind all of us, because I know you went in 2015, but you also went earlier than that, didn't you?
Yes, so I went back to Romania in 2013 when I was invited to share my adoption journey at the parliament at a hearing in 2013 in Bucharest in the Palace of the Parliament, which was quite an intense experience for me, given that I'd never done public speaking before that in my life, and I had just 1 week to prepare my speech.
And no presentation, was it just all speech and talking? And
yeah, it was all speaking, so no PowerPoint or anything, just speaking.
And do you know much about Romanian orphanages, adoptees, and do you know many
adoptees yourself from Romania here in New Zealand or even Germany? Who do you know that's also from Romania?
So in Germany, when I was, so first of all, back to your first questions, what I know about the Romanian orphanages, and so that's the first question, and I'll address it in two parts, the orphanage question and then who I know from Romania. So in the orphanages, the history has been well documented, and there's some very well, you know, documentaries out there, such as by the, you know, especially from the US, you know, ABC or 60 Minute or something, you know, the equivalent. So it's well documented in the 90s, and as a lot of older people might be aware, that the conditions weren't the greatest. Actually, a better word to use, they were quite horrendous. And there were some places where kids were really mistreated. And for instance, kids, you know, would rock backwards and forwards, which actually I ended up doing in my orphanage.
Because and do you remember that? Do you remember doing that?
I personally can't recall that. Yep. But I did recall in 2015 when I went back to Romania, I got some memories of basically impressions that my time wasn't very pleasant or nice in the orphanage.
Do you remember, when did you leave the orphanage?
I left the orphanage in 1997 in February.
You're two years old,
I was,
right?
Yeah, 2 years old.
So you don't have any memory of the orphanage or anything like that? Like me, I don't have any memories myself, but do you remember a few little things here and there? Did you have flashbacks when you went back?
Well, I have impressions, but they're just fragments. They're no full coherent, you know, set of memories like a whole day
Like a few things here and there, right?
Yes, yeah. But they were more like impressions. For instance, when I actually went to my old town, Cluj, and when we drove past my orphanage, I just had this feeling, oh, I know this place.
And did you, here's a thing, I mean, did you, over time, have you noticed, are they improving the orphanages there? What do you know about that since you left the orphanage? Well, so, you're not yours specifically, but I guess orphanages in Romania.
Yeah. So I would say there's quite a degree of variance in the conditions of the orphanages, because I've seen both reports, and I have to say that especially certain orphanages that were privately funded in Romania domestically, that some of them were not the greatest, but then also heard cases of foreign orphanages that were funded and that have they've received very good, you know, professional care, be it psychological development or, you know, physiological support. But a big move globally is to actually to deinstitutionalize places, which basically means shutting down orphanages, because there's a clear link to, if you keep kids in orphanages, their whole development as a person and just also their physical development is slowed down. And there was actually an interesting piece of research last year at the ICAR-6 conference in Montreal, where they found in a big study that basically kids that had stayed in an orphanage, you could see physical effects. Their sleep patterns were disturbed, so they were actually having trouble sleeping, and there was a significant impact on that, in contrast to those that didn't have those bad experiences in the orphanages.
So you're saying, though, if they had no orphanages, what do you think, what about children that don't have families that need to be adopted? Are you saying maybe for a few years of their life until they have some care? Or how do you look at it? Because I always say that, yes, a child shouldn't be in an orphanage for a long time. I understand that, and they need to be in a family. But to have that facility there for the first few years just until they find a family, I think is a good thing. But it depends how you look at it, of course, and with the conditions of the orphanage. So I'm not on any side here. I'm just trying to explain. I'm trying to figure out what you mean exactly as well.
I think that's a really good question. And what I'm basically meaning there is the typical orphanage, which everyone kind of thinks of, you know, having lots of kids and not enough caretakers, is definitely not the model forward. Everyone agrees that in the international community, psychologists, they all agree on that. But the different methods of taking care of the kids before they adopted, there's quite a lot of variance. But what there's some key points that everyone agrees on is basically making sure the kids get enough stimulation, which just means human interaction. Mm-hmm. Their safety is guaranteed, because if there's not proper oversight, then it leads to abuse of kids, be it psychologically or physically.
Yeah.
And to make sure that they receive also the proper physical need, their physical and emotional needs are met. And in regards to especially the oversight, it's very important because in New Zealand at the moment, but also in Australia and in Canada in the past, there have been inquiries to the government for actually in the past where kids were kept in state orphanages, basically, or institutions where there was abuse happening because of the power imbalances between the caretakers and the children.
So you think that obviously people need to look into that a lot more?
Yes.
And, you know, because of course that's horrible. And I think...
And also another point...
Yeah.
Another point on that is that actually... A lot of actually place organizations and governments, including the Australian governments, and recently J.K. Rowling, the lady who, those of you that don't know, but I'm sure everyone of you knows, wrote Harry Potter. Wrote Harry Potter, said at a big conference in the UK that she discourages people to do long-term volunteering or volunteering in an orphanage, especially in more developing countries.
Okay.
Like Southeast Asia or something, because a lot of these places, they just get kids into the orphanage to make money from it, because it's a $1 billion industry, the volunteer industry.
Look, I don't want to get into a big debate myself about that, because I know that it's a little bit, you know, I don't know what to believe with that, okay? But I just want to be clear that we're just talking about the Romanian side of things as well. I don't know exactly what J.K. Rowling said, and I do have respect for orphanages in Russia for looking after the kids because they try their best and they put them in families. I also have met organizations in Russia that have put children into families as soon as possible, but I don't know the other side of the story as well. There's always two sides to everything. Okay, I understand that.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Like, I understand what you're saying.
No, I agree, and I think we have to make another differentiation there. Those orphanages that you're talking there in Russia, their purpose is to actually keep the kids there temporarily, not long-term.
That's what they always say as well.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. That's the difference, because their aim is to keep them there temporarily, and their aim is to reunite them with families. And I definitely agree that is needed, because you need some kind of temporary place to keep the children, but actually the word...
Where are they going to go?
Exactly, and I agree. Yeah. But I think in terms of the word we're using, I think the word orphanage has that connotation still from Romania, actually.
Yes.
I think a better word that I'm more comfortable with and the meaning around it is actually children's home.
That's what they call it in Russia.
Yeah, because it's not an orphanage, because they, for instance, I would imagine have... Let's say 20 kids and maybe about one or two caretakers, right? Yes.
I see what you're saying.
So that's...
In Russia?
Yeah, I'm just getting...
No, they got heaps of caretakers for every group.
Okay.
But the thing is...
But that's just a good ratio minimum.
We never... They go through like a... In the orphanages that I've dealt with, they always go through like a therapy session for the children. And they get them in a program where they will be adopted out. That's what I see the difference in. And they focus on adopting them into a family. I don't know what it is like for Romania or other countries and Asia and everything like that. Everywhere is different. We could talk about this all night, you know. But I think moving on from that, the orphanage side, because we missed a question. We don't know the answer about you knowing any other Romanian friends who are also adopted from Romania.
Okay, that's...
So unless you want to keep talking about what you're talking, it's fine with me.
We can talk. No, I think that's good to wrap it up, and I think it's good to...
Take really part two of the orphanage talk by Alex. Thank you, Alex. That's great, honestly, about the orphanage stuff. And I know there's so many stories online about that as well, and there's a lot to read. There's a lot of reading involved.
Yeah.
And you know so much about that, and I think it's great.
And I think I'd just like to reiterate with Alex that I fully also agree with him that, you know, there are two sides to every story. And, you know, we were basically both mentioning extremes, and there's definitely, you know, good places out there, call them orphanages or children's homes, that definitely have the best interest at heart of the children. I definitely don't want to discredit them, because they do very important work, and you've seen it with your own eyes when you visited them. Yeah, and
I've seen it.
You know, and I fully support that. It's just, I think that with everything in life, you have to look at things, you know, with a critical eye, which you definitely, everyone does here.
I know.
And in regards to your second question, part two of the orphanage talk is...
Right. Well, the Romanian talk. This is about Romania.
Yes, the Romanian talk is...
Don't get sad, Jared.
Yeah, the Romanian orphanage talk is, yeah. is, do I know any Romanian adoptees? So I can't recall like names, anything from Germany, but I do remember when I was young in Germany that we had basically a group get together with an adoption group where we did activities together like Christmas outings or summer outings, and we just spent time together. And I was told by my parents or family that there were children from Romania and even a couple from somebody in my own orphanage there, like somebody there. So, and I think that's been, you know, subconsciously, I think, important to be with other people that have experienced similar things. So it's the equivalent in New Zealand to ICANNs.
Yes.
Which is the Inter-Country Adoption Agency organization that basically had that as well for people that were younger, provided just event get-together. It was really informal, but just get-together events.
And do you think having that support growing up, obviously with adoption groups, like I had them as well, with the New Zealand one and with all Russian adoptees growing up, and we were familiar with each other because we had a similar story. Do you believe that's important for adoptees?
I think
growing up as when they're growing up as children.
I think it's very important for them, but I think when you're young, at least in my case, I didn't realize the importance. It was nothing special.
It kind of just was part of every day, every week sort of routine.
Yeah, or not even week. I mean, it wasn't every week for us in my case, but you know, it was, you know, whatever time period it was. Right. Was it once a month or, you know, it depended, but yeah, it wasn't anything like, whoa, this is weird. It just felt like going to a normal event.
And have you kept in touch with any of your old Romanian friends, even just through Facebook maybe or anything over time, or do you keep in touch?
No, I didn't keep in touch because I was quite young, and then at a certain age, you know, it's stopped happening, you know, and we left Germany when I was 10 years old.
And then you guys came to New Zealand.
Yeah. And I met some adoptees here in New Zealand, some, you know, some Romanian, but I would say at the moment I haven't really formed any close friendships, and it's also that a lot of adoptees, especially from Romania, they've actually moved overseas to Australia.
Oh, really?
Because I actually did try to find some adopted people here through ICANNs that provided me some support there.
Well, I know you've met some that have come and gone, you know, moved to Auckland and they've left, and you've kept in touch, I guess, from time to time. But I guess, you know, we do lose touch with people as well, and it's life, you know. It is life in that regard. But I hope that you do, you know, I'm sure, and I hope that you do meet more from Romania. I mean, your brother is adopted from Romania as well, so that's, I would consider that somebody that you know that's also adopted from Romania, because you can talk to him, right, about your whole experience together.
Yeah, I'm sure
he's probably a little bit sick of it by now.
I was more meaning like, I thought you were meaning like somebody, you know, that wasn't family, you know.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I'm talking, I mean, my brother's adopted from Russia. We don't talk about it much, but,
yeah, I mean,
you know, it depends what you want to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, because my case is very similar. We don't talk that much directly about it either, so that's why I wasn't really directly considering. But yeah, he's adopted from Romania.
Yeah.
Yeah, as well.
And with Romania, so you know a lot about the history, I understand. You know too much about the history, I think, which is good. It's good to know the history. I love history, and you definitely know a lot about Romania. Do you plan to go back anytime soon?
I don't have a definite date yet, but I definitely plan to at some point in the future, wherever that might be.
What do you think you'll do?
I think the next time that I plan to go there, I think I'd just like to spend some time, visit the whole country, because I haven't had the chance to do that yet. And maybe if the right opportunity arises, is visit my orphanage, because I haven't had the chance yet to do that, and just maybe, you know, have a chat to some people there, find out what it was really like.
So you haven't been back to your orphanage, and you are thinking maybe now is the right time to go and visit? Do you feel like that inside you, that you feel like you would like to visit your orphanage?
I think more of like, if the right opportunity presents itself to me whenever I'll be there in the future. But I think it's something that at the right point coming up in the future, I would like to do that.
I think it's great. I think that's an all-round, it's awesome. And I believe that everybody has a different view on revisiting their orphanage. I mean, I definitely do. But I think that, you know, if you want to go and do that, you can go and do that.
And I think what's I think personally, I found always important when visiting or going back to your birth country is that you should try and go there with an open mind, but yes. also do some research, but try not to have any too much expectations. But just go to like, yeah, you know, I'm here to find out. It's kind of like, for me, it would be probably more like a fact-finding mission. Like, find out what's happening. What was it like? Maybe take a few photos of the place, or if you're allowed to. Probably you're not, but, you know, see what you know, what happens.
I think it's good. And it's like for every adoptee, you know, if you want to revisit your birth country, have an open mind and be prepared for anything that comes your way. And obviously plan and schedule and plan everything in advance. And make sure you know what you're doing as well. I mean, of course, there's going to be mysteries. There's going to be all sorts of things that happen along the way. But I guess that's all part of the experience. But that's why we are all here to talk to each other about it.
Exactly. I mean, I might end up finding Dracula and finally be able to say he's real, not just from the books.
Not a myth.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Alex, thank you so much for joining us this week for episode 20 of I'm Adopted, and I think it's very important that you talk about this, and I really appreciate you joining us again for another podcast for I'm Adopted.
Thank you, Alex. Likewise, I enjoyed sharing a bit about myself again and Romania and the history and the different thoughts on orphanages and if I knew anyone from Romania.
Now, speaking of that, if any of you are listening and you're adopted from Romania, please reach out through to the I'm Adopted Facebook page. Go and check out our private group. Reach out to Alex. Alex is there. Alexander Kush or Alex Kush on Facebook.
Why are you laughing?
Alex is laughing because I'm promoting him right now. We've got to have a bit of humor, right?
Exactly. But
on Facebook, go to facebook.com/I'm Adopted org and go and visit our I'm Adopted project. It is incredible. It's helping people all across the world share their stories, join the community, and share their experiences. And go ahead and check it out. Please keep listening to the podcast. I think it's awesome. It's great. You guys are all tuning in. I really appreciate it a lot. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, it's all there. There's always a way to listen to podcasts these days. And now we've got 20 episodes in the bag, which is pretty cool. So go ahead and check that out. We're on Instagram as well. Alex Kush is on there. Go check him out on Instagram, NZ Alex Kush. Write this down. Slow down the podcast so you can write this down. NZ Alex Kush. God, he's laughing like crazy. Thank you so much, guys, for listening. And I really appreciate it. And please keep listening, and we'll see you guys next week. Thank you. Thank you, Alex.